love you.
Good day and welcome, O denizens of Thunderbird Radio Land, as we wander once again through life's garden. Time now for the Eclectic Lunch right here on CITR, broadcasting from the picturesque promontory known as Alksen, a land traditionally shared by the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh people, and now home to the Point Grey campus of the University of British Columbia. We've got another goon show for you today. This one is from December 26, 1956. And make a note of that date because it will be referenced later. If you got here late, The Goon Show was a comedy show that played on British radio in the 1950s and was the inspiration for Monty Python, Saturday Night Live, and, well, practically every sketch comedy show that ever existed. It starred Spike Milligan, who also wrote most of the scripts, Harry Secombe, and Peter Sellers, who went on to fame in movies like Pink Panther, Dr. Strangelove, and Being There. This particular episode is called Six Charlies in Search of an Author. The name is a parody of Six Characters in Search of an Author, an absurdist Italian play by Pirandello from the 1920s, and it was enjoying a resurgence in the mid-1950s. The play deals with the nature of writing and storytelling, the nature of reality, and the writer's creative responsibility to an audience. According to one source, Milligan chose it to reflect his, quote, own increasing frustration as the writer of The Goon Show. He believed that the characters had taken over the show, forcing him into writing repetitively and formulaically. It led him to blame the BBC for exploiting him and the audience for being thick and far too easily satisfied. Nonetheless, this amalgamation of Pirandello and the Goons comes off remarkably well, despite Spike as Spriggs being bailed up by a typewriter. Unquote.
This is the BBC Home Service.
Well, whoa! Walter Greenslade! Where do you get your advance information from?
I sit in the Strangers Gallery at Rowton House.
You're no stranger to Rowton House. I see you there every night.
So, you've seen through my Sir William Root's tramp disguise.
Yes, and the penalty is announcing the Goon Show.
Right, the Goon Show.
It's hardly worth your while coming here, is it, Paul?
Ah, my dear Seacombe. There's much more, you know.
Oh, what? Well done. Well, what? Oh,
yes, because, you see, yes. This week it's Jim Spriggs's immortal book.
Yes.
Six Charlies in Search of an Author.
Chapter 1, Nelly meets Grit Pipe Thin.
Good heavens! I'm supposed to meet Grit Pipe Thin in Chapter 1. I'd better hurry.
Oh, you must be the Charlie I'm supposed to meet in Chapter 1.
Correct.
What a thrilling start.
My name is Nelly Seagoon.
There's one in every family.
What?
Do you mind facing west when you do that? It gets all over me. Now, to whom do I owe the pleasure of this nauseating visit?
The author.
Of course. You must excuse me. I'm only new in this book, though.
I see. What part do you play?
I'm a bone specialist.
What do you want?
Bones.
I haven't got any bones.
Nonsense. You'd fall down without them. You'd fall down without them.
You'd fall down without them.
You'd fall down without them. Take your choice. I know. I know for a fact that you have a large number of them tucked away somewhere.
Have you been prying into my family album of X-rays?
Moriarty, tell him what you found.
Ah, it's a pretty spawn, my will. Mr. Seagoon, quietly. I'm getting nowhere fast tonight. So a Merry Christmas to you all.
Sir
Pristy Spawn, let me tell you, Mr. Seagoon, we have a very compromising X-ray photograph of two sets of bones. Yours and the ladies.
It's a lie. We're just good friends. How much do you want for that X-ray?
£10, Neddy, to be paid in money before Chapter 10.
Yes, and don't try and slip past us, Neddy, because we've got an armed man in the index.
Curses. So they're going to catch me by the index. Oh, dear readers, here am I. Due to marry the beautiful millionaire-ness, Gladys Minkwater, in Chapter 8.
Wow.
Before then, I must get that compromising X-ray photograph back. £10 they want, eh? Taxi! The nearest pawn shop. Put your foot down and keep your flag up.
Right, mate. I got it, mate. That's three bob on the clock.
Right. Here's a pound for your trouble.
I ain't got no trouble, mate.
You have now, mate. That pound's a forgery.
No, mate. No. Good morning, sir. Welcome to Chapter 2.
Thank you. Now, I should like to pawn myself.
I'm sorry, we don't take antiques here, sir.
Have a care, old prune-faced fossil.
Aye,
but an antique. Look. Here's the date of my birth, stamped on the bottom.
Oh. This is a Welsh birthmark. Go up to the fourth floor, room 3.
Right. Fourth floor.
What is it, sir?
I'd like to pawn myself.
Who sent you up here?
You did. Mm.
Then you've come to the right man. Get into this lift. Going down. Page 18. 17, page 16. 15. Chapter 1. Runs, pawn shop. See you and enters and pawns himself. That's a very small part for me. This a satisfied men, you're naughty.
We're back where we started. What do you send me up to the fourth floor for?
To get me.
Get you? Wait a minute. How did you get up there before me?
I skipped a couple of pages.
I've got a good mind to tell the author.
No, no, don't do that. He might have me killed off in a later chapter, don't...
Now, look, Mr. Crun, how much money will you give me on me?
Well, first I must scrutinize you with an intense scrut. Just take your clothes off.
I need the room first.
There!
Now, lie under this magnifying glass.
It's cold, isn't it? Oh, there! How do I look?
Oh, even bigger. Just stand on these scales, please. £18.
Shall I put the other leg on now?
No. As dead weight alone, I'll offer you £10. You'll come in useful for filling in holes.
Done!
You certainly have been. Did you hear that joke? Did you?
10 years ago. Now, where's the money?
There, £10 in crisp green farthings.
Ta. Goodbye.
No, wait, wait. You can't go till someone comes to redeem you.
What?
Kindly step into this safe and Gilray, play me the key.
Plucci!
Thank you.
6, Charlie's in search of an author, folks. Chapter 3, in which I see fit to have the character Neddy Seagoon still inside Crumb's fiendish pawn shop safe.
Yes, dear readers, inside the safe all was dark. I took out a book of matches and began to read it. Page 1. To ignite match, detach one and strike it against bottom.
What?
By the light of my burning trousers, I could see that...
Put that light out! Put that light out, my good man! Put that... Who put that light out? Who put that light out? Turn that back out! Turn that back out! Turn that... Put that light out! Oh, I don't care what I'm going to talk about. Yeah, all right.
The idiot stranger was a complete idiot stranger to me. He was tall and clad in a cement sack with an outlet at the base. His legs were neat and carefully pressed. And on his head he wore a rubber dinghy with a handmade cardboard peak.
Hello, Arnold. You pawned yourself?
Yes. I'm pledge number 32. Have you got a pledge number?
No. I only pawned my socks.
Oh, then why don't you go home?
I can't get my boots off.
Chapter 4, in which Seagoon has a brilliant idea.
Mr. Crumb, give me up! I've had a brilliant idea!
What is it?
I want to redeem myself.
Certainly. £10, please.
Now to buy back that compromising X-ray photograph. Where did I put that? £10. It's gone! I've been robbed! What happens now, Mr. Greenslade? I must know.
You see, I hate peeking at the end of the book, but in Chapter 7, Gritpipe Thin and Moriarty ship the compromising X-ray photograph in the plain wrapper to an art connoisseur in Paris.
Thank you, boys. That just gave me time to smuggle her out of the room.
Major Bloodlock!
It's alive! Oh, naughty postcards. I've never heard of them, I tell you. How dare you come in here and offer me money for these postcards over there, which are not here.
Major, enough of this needle-noddle-noo.
No.
Major, please.
What?
For the compromising X-ray photo of myself and a lady, how much do you want?
10,000 francs. He's fainted in the direction of down. Doris, darling.
Yes, darling.
Help me lift him in the direction of up.
Right.
I haven't got 10,000 francs.
What? Throw him in the direction of up.
Wait. I have got 10 pounds.
Put him in the direction of down again. Wait, don't turn the page over yet. I recognize that wallet. It's young Private Neagle Seagoon, retired. My ex-Batman and Spawn runner. Oh.
Dear listeners, for the benefit of those of you who do not know what a Spawn runner is, neither do I. I just want you to know that you are not alone. Wallace is one of you. Oh. And now, Chapter 7, page 72. Seagoon does not recognize Major Bloodnock.
Major Bloodnock! I didn't recognize you in that false room.
Well, I was only wearing it to keep the rain off. I wouldn't wear it out of doors, of course.
Of course. Let me help you off with it.
Thank you. Good heavens, we're outside and it's raining in the direction of down.
You'd better put your room on in the direction of on.
Oh, that's better. It's much warmer with this direction on. Now, Neddy, pull up a chair and sit down.
I'd rather stand if you don't mind.
Oh, well, pull up a floor then.
Major, please, don't choke.
Oh, pardon me, I'm sorry. I can't help it, you know.
Major, please don't. I must have that compromising X-ray photo.
Kuchne doing, Edward. Kuchne, I can't help it, I'm afraid. It's in that safe and Gritpipe has the key. And there's nothing on this page we can open it with.
Well, I'll write something in. Let me see. Looking around the room that Dudnock was wearing, Neddy's eye lit upon the following. 1 18-foot crowbar and 1 sledgehammer.
What a splendid piece of descriptive writing. Now, who's going to do all the work?
Without hesitation, brave Blubnock picked up the crowbar and began to force open the safe.
Oh, you cad, Edward, making me do all that. Give me the typewriter, will you? Neddy, horrified at the sight of a retired Indian Army major laboring, snatched the crowbar and set to work himself.
It's starting to give.
You two characters. Stop. Stop, I say.
It's a copper.
I'm not a policeman.
I beg your pardon, madam.
I'm not a policewoman either.
Okay, you're cutting it rather fine, aren't you?
The newcomer was a small pair of pince-nez spectacles, cut in a writing desk with the drawers open.
Put a curb on your tongue, fellow.
Tongue, tongue.
I am Jim Spriggs, author of this book. I put you in it.
Right in it.
Silence.
Look here, if you're the author, couldn't you have made me a little younger?
What?
I mean, in chapter 3, I met a delightful young lady, but alas, my fires had gone out.
Do not worry.
What?
I've made sure you don't get any older.
Oh.
On the next page, you'll run over by a steamroller lamp.
Yeah. Mr. Arthur, I implore you, I've got to get that safe open.
Fear not, little Jim. Fear not, little Jim. I'll write in a new character who will assist you. The door opened, and a virile figure leapt into the center of the room.
Hello, Captain. Springy's in the center of the room. Spring!
Stay a moment, steaming lad. Did I write you in?
Yeah.
It's no good. I shall have to go to the country for a long rest.
And who are you, little blotchy lad?
I will show you. Moves right, keeping hole in seat of trousers away from vulgar gaze of audience. Nodding. Whip, whip, whip. Takes off false boots, revealing false feet.
So that's who you are.
Yes. Secret agent Bluebottle, the mastermind behind the second Finchley Wolf Camp.
Yes, but can you blow open the safe?
Just you watch me. No, I cannot blow it open. A moment. I know what I shall do. I shall insert my licorice in the keyhole.
But we need an explosive.
Licorice is an explosive.
No, no. No, we daren't risk any loud explosions. The author might hear us.
I have got an idea. Electric light bulb lights up above head. Flash, flash, flash it goes. I have got a packet of silent TNT, which I read it about in Black Claw, Emperor of the Universe. In the boys' mag, price tuppence with free elastic and cardboard jet fighter.
Silent TNT. Quick, light it, little pimply lad, and put it under the safe.
No, 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 wait. What? First, let me sing my bit, and then I can clear off, mate. I'm so happy. I'm so happy. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. Comes a message just for you, and I promise to be true from the bottom of my heart. See the glow in my eyes. See the happiness in my smile. I'm satisfied with your love from the bottom of my heart. Now when I see you coming down the street, I said that's the girl for me. Now the blues have me prisoner for a long, long time. Well, at last you set me free from the bottom of my heart. Comes a message just for you, and I promise to be true from the bottom of my heart. Play, boy. Now, when I saw you coming down the street, I said, that's the girl for me. Now the blues have me a prisoner for a long, long time. Well, at last you set me free from the bottom of my heart. Comes a message just for you, and I promise to be true. From the bottom of my heart, 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 from the bottom of my heart.
Now light the fuse of the silent TNT. Quick, everybody out! Quick, quickly, 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 quickly,
quickly, quickly, quickly, quickly, quickly, quickly, quickly, quickly, quickly, quickly, quickly,
quickly, quickly, quickly, quickly, quickly, quickly, quickly, quickly, quickly, quickly, quickly, quickly, quickly, quickly, quickly, quickly, quickly, quickly, quickly, quickly, quickly. Let's get it off. Now, go on,
chaps.
Come on,
mumble, 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 mumble. Dear listeners, dear listeners, I don't know about you, but I find this all rather far-fetched. And as soon as it's all over, I'm going to tell John Snag.
Oh, you BBC devil, you!
Blue Bottle, how do I know when the silent TNT has exploded?
Eh? Well, I never thought of that. I suppose that when you hear nothing, that's it.
Can't anybody hear it explode?
Only idiots. Did you hear anything, Captain?
No.
Good, because only idiots can hear explosions like that.
Here, what was that big explosion? That blew me backwards out of my underpants. I'm back to front now. For Christmas, of course.
So you heard it too?
Yeah.
No comment. Help me on with this room and we'll see if the safe's blown open.
Hands up, you stealing fool.
You said that before.
Yes, Neddy, that was only a recording of a silent explosion, specially written in without the author's knowledge.
Oh? Well, two can play at that game.
What do you mean?
Moriarty's finger squeezed the trigger, but there was only a hollow.
Sapristi! He's written in an empty gun for me.
Never mind. Before Seagoon could alter the next line, Gritpipe and Moriarty were already on the motorboat speeding up the Amazon River with a compromising X-ray photo safely in the hold.
What's going on here, Jing? What's going on here? What are those men doing sailing up the Amazon River in my book? Don't you dare change another word.
Hands up, Mr. Author.
What? Oh, you great big leaping crab, you. Don't be a fool. Drop that typewriter.
The author turned and left the room.
I don't agree with you, Albert.
That's got rid of him.
Now what?
Can I have a go at that typewriter, Captain? In a matter of seconds, balloon buttons was at the helm of a powerful elastic-driven speedboat. Chasing the naughty Gritpipe sins up the Hamadon. But suddenly, they were attacked by Black Claw and his Chinese pirates. And the boys met.
You blithering idiot! Look what you've written us into! Quick, swim for the bank!
Not there, I'm overdrawn. No, no.
Thank you.
Here. Let me help you out.
Pickles! How did you get ashore?
I walked across on that log.
That's not a log, that's a crocodile.
Oh. I wondered why my legs kept getting shorter.
Listeners. Listeners will note that that was a repeat of the joke first heard in the Goon Show, second series, 1952. Repeated by a special request of the authors. I should like to remind listeners that there are now only 364 shopping days to Christmas.
Good heavens! We must hurry!
What?
Make a crown in
Mr.
the Amazon!
Crown, how did you get out here?
Somebody gave me a typewriter, and here I am.
Well, we're completely lost.
I suspect the listeners are, too.
We must find our way to chapter 10.
We must find our way to chapter 10.
We must. Thank you, and good night, very young. We must find our way to chapter 10. That's where Gritpipe's heading for. Come on, and keep your eyes open for a 211A bus.
What for?
It goes right past Brixton Jail.
Why do you want to go right past there?
Well, I don't want to go in.
Oh,
Seagorn!
Thank heavens. I say, look here, could you write us in a good dinner? We're starving, you know.
Don't worry, steaming lads. I've written a happy ending for you all on the next page, so go on, turn it over.
I now pronounce you, Neddy Seagoon, and you, Gladys Minkwater, man and wife, and leave you to discover which is which.
Oh, and we live happily ever after.
But even as Seagoon and his mullion Harris bride stepped outside, she noticed in the crowd a certain handsome virile youth, Wolfcup Bleedbutter. So she ran over to his car and...
Who gave him that typewriter? Come back! You're too young for that sort of thing!
That's what you think!
That was The Goon Show, a BBC recorded programme featuring Peter Sellers, Harry Seagoon and Spike Finnegan, with the Wellington Quartet, Max Geldray and the orchestra conducted by Wally Stott. Script by Spike Finnegan and Larry Stevens. Announcer Wally Greenslade. The programme produced by Patrick's...
One final note, you heard the name Wally Stott in the closing credits. Wally Stott transitioned in the early 1970s and came out as a transgender woman named Angela Morley in 1972. Angela Morley had an illustrious career as a composer and conductor for radio, film, and television, and became the first openly transgender person to be nominated for an Academy Award. That was for Best Music, Original Song, Score, and Adaptation for The Little Prince in 1974. And she shared that nomination with Alan J. Lerner, Frederick Lowe, and Douglas Gamely.
Devon Cole is a woman in total control. Unafraid and unashamed, Cole has burst onto the scene through her expertly crafted feminist pop anthems, packaging social truths into repeat-worthy bops. This is the era of fempop, and Devon Cole is an artist you don't want to miss. Join Devon Cole on her Two Shades Blonder tour and see her in Vancouver at the Biltmore Cabaret on March 16th. To find out more and get your tickets, visit admitone.com. That's admitone.com. I should be smitten, but
you Mitch Lardwar to Human Serviette, and you're listening to Unseated Airwaves on CITR 101.9 FM at doo-doo-loo-doo, doo-doo.
We have been called the Indians.
Justified in opening fire that day. Amy Allen has more.
The virus took on many shapes. The bear, the elk, the antelope.
Hosted by the Indigenous Collective of CITR 101.9 FM, Unseated Airwaves unveils the hidden pages of Indigenous history and contemporary existence. We are back and looking for passionate folks to contribute to the process of putting together our weekly radio show. Our community centers Indigenous joy, excellence, and current issues. Friends and allies are welcome. No experience is necessary. Come learn with us. Our Instagram is Unseated Airwaves, and that's the best way to keep up with us. If you're interested in getting involved or you have any questions, email me, indigenouscollective@citr.ca.
Attention, all artists, zine makers, writers, musicians, community organizers, activists, anarchists, proles, punks, and weirdos. Are you screaming for your voice to be heard? Do you resist capitalism and colonialism? Are you angry about the current political climate and ready to act up about it? Well, we want you here. The second annual Anarchist Book Fair is now looking for creatives, creators, activists, and organizations who engage in community building, mutual aid, active resistance, skill building, and knowledge sharing to table booths and propose workshops. This is an anarchist space, which means it opposes hierarchies and seeks to amplify unheard voices and build communities of mutual aid and support. First come, first serve. 50% of tables reserved for marginalized voices. Email sponsorship@citr.ca before March 27th. sponsorship@citr.ca. sponsorship@citr.ca.
What a beautiful day.
Yeah.
Are you hungry? I think I'm hungry. I think we should get ourselves something nice for our beach day.
Oh, yeah?
Oh my god, I know the perfect place. Cockney King's Fish and Chips is literally just around the corner. We should go there. It is the best fish and chips in Vancouver.
Oh my god, yes, absolutely. Let's go right now.
Cockney King's Fish and Chips, Kitsilano. On Cornwall Avenue, between Cypress and Walnut. It's the best fish and chips in town. But don't take our word for it. Try it yourself. If Kitsilano isn't your neighborhood, check out Cockney King's in Burnaby or New Westminster.
It's great! It's too much for a cultural backwater like Vancouver. It just bursts with violence. It's got every absurdity and nihilism of the world.
CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Vancouver. Every absurdity and nihilism of the world since 1937.
It'll play off Broadway. I can see it now.
Oh,
knowledge and curiosity. Out in this big world, I saw you in the crowd. How you stood out. I wanted to get to know you. You turned to me and smiled like a wolf. So calm, the world did not touch you, yet you saw it all. Airports, trains, and walls, the smell of smoke in your hair. Yet you talked of beautiful places and the cool mountain air. I really wanted to know you, to kiss your weary lips, to take in all of your scent, just to feel where you have been, like a wolf in a cathedral, so alert and so calm. The world did not touch you, yet you saw it all. You took your time with me, oh so sweet and so slow. We swam the golden sunset lake, kissed the water from your skin, drove back to Paris in the dark. Then it all faded like a broken film. I never saw you again. Like a wolf in a cathedral, so alert and so calm. Touch you, yet you saw it all. 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 We'll be right back.
thinking not to stay in at all. We might as well go get drunk, we home alone. We got cheap wine and some gin to pass the time. Ain't so bad when we drink and talk all night and then we fight. Our love is like an art form. What more could I ask for? Our love is like an art form. How could I want more? How could I want more? Take off, then you sick of me, then right. Yeah, you mad, and you come back, and then we fight. Our love is like an art form. What more could I ask for? Our love is like an art form. How could I want more? Our love is like an art form.
But it'll be understood that I am bound. One, don't you go.
On the Eclectic Lunch today, we heard The Goon Show, featuring Spike Milligan, Harry Secombe, and Peter Sellers, with songs by Max Geldre and Ray Ellington. We also heard music from Yellow, The Houseplants, Sandra Cappaduca, The Bad Beats, The Magic Triangle, Merv XX Gotti, and The Gun Club. Our theme music is by Rye Cooter, and this little ditty is by the great Neil Hefti. If there's something you'd like to hear on Eclectic Lunch, drop us a line at daveradiopodcast@hotmail.com. You can search on our podcast archive at citr.ca, and remember to like, share, and subscribe, because Sharon deserves it. Keep your dial set on CITR all afternoon. Up next is Musish, turning found sounds, new music, and an eclectic vinyl library into new improvised tunes. That's followed at 2 o'clock by Radio Art from Bepi Crespin, and as he's always been since 1987, our very own star on the BC Entertainment Walk of Fame, Mardwar the Human Serviette at 3:30. And we'll be back with more delightful morsels on the Eclectic Lunch next week at this same time. We now return you to regular programming.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Nisiam, Nisiaya, Thinkum Queen Ansep, Hydra Siam, Nisiam, Nisiaya, Anthas Gakhulia, Talitin, Homa